Today on Real Life Radio.
If you know somebody and love them, you want to be with them, don't you? And if you know the Lord and love Him because you've been with Him, you want to not miss anything that He's involved in or that He's doing, and you want to know more about Him. The more you know, the more you love, the more you love, the more you know.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When Jesus Christ Comes Again, Part 1. Now, you know, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 12, we'll consider that out of the 27 books of the New Testament, all but four teach on the return of Jesus Christ. You see, many verses of the Bible refer to Jesus coming back to the earth, either in the rapture or His second coming. But when He does return, will He really find His people ready? Are we diligently waiting, or are we caught up in the things of this world? These are, of course, personal questions that require a personal answer from each one of us. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus is going to reward all those who have faithfully kept busy, waiting for His return, with a kind of focused adoration and endurance, knowing that the longer it takes, the greater the reward. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now, with his message called When Jesus Christ Comes Again, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Are your feet heading in directions that they ought not to be going? Jesus could come tonight. Are you looking at things? Maybe it's internet pornography or an internet relationship or somebody at work, and the Holy Spirit's been saying to you, knock this off. Stop doing this. Christ could return today. Think about that. How urgent. And you say, well, that shouldn't be my motive. My motive should be loving Jesus. That's why I should be ready. Hey, listen, I agree with you. If you love Jesus, you will be watching, waiting, earnestly expecting His return. If you believe in the Word of God that teaches He could come at any time, it'd keep you out of a lot of grief. You say, well, Pastor, what if I live my whole life waiting for Him and He doesn't come? You will have lived a holy, godly, dedicated life. The life that you and I are supposed to be living anyway. Well, I wish I knew when He was coming. What would you do if you had that information? I know what you would do. You would either get so serious about the Lord's return that you only have so much time left, and you would go and tell all your neighbors and get the Word of God out every which way, everywhere, and that would be a great thing. Or you would say, you know what, I'm going to goof off and horse around and get right up to the line, and then I'll repent. And that, by the way, is a trap that you wouldn't be able to redeem from, recover from. Expectantly, watching, waiting at all times. So important was this doctrine. I'm going to get your... Have your pen ready to write down some amazing verses regarding how you and I should be living. And take note, what I'm going to give you, these verses are 2,000 years old, and Paul spoke them to the church at Thessalonica 2,000 years ago. And though Christ did not return at that time, you and I are 2,000 years closer to these verses being applicable to our lives. So keep this in mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as I said, five chapters, watch this. Out of the five chapters, each chapter ends with an exhortation for the Lord's soon coming. And Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. While we wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And that word wrath to come, by the way, is not hell. That word wrath to come is God's vengeance upon the earth. The church will not see a global judgment of God upon the earth. Yes, the church is seeing persecution. It always has. Yes, right now there are those dying for Christ in China and in North Africa. But the global vengeance of God that the Lord will bring upon the earth in the seven-year tribulation period of time, the Bible says, we wait for His coming from heaven. because he will deliver us from that wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" That's the great exhortation of chapter 2. Chapter 3 is found in verse 13. "So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God, the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Does anyone have anyone who's died believing in Jesus? Any family member, any friend died believing in Jesus? When the rapture comes, he's going to bring those who died in Christ, he's going to bring with them. And that's exactly what 1 Thessalonians 3:13 is talking about. Then chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Oh, may that be today. Are you ready to meet him today? I hope so. And then chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. "For God did not appoint us to wrath," vengeance, judgment, God's vengeance that he's going to pour out upon this earth, "but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Five chapters, 1 Thessalonians, five great exhortations for the church to be expectantly waiting his return. Point number two this morning, when Jesus Christ comes again, in verses 37 to 38, returning for those who are watching. We need to be watching. Returning for those who are watching this way, watching while working. He says in verse 37, "Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, will find watching." The word implies, as they are servants, that they are doing this. Church, look at me. They're doing this. They're working and watching. Working and looking about. Working, scanning the horizon. That's the life of the believer. We need to be praying, "Lord, make me like this." Now, please don't misunderstand me. As Christians, I'm not talking about, as people have once said, to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Personally, I don't think that's possible, to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. If you're so heavenly minded, you're going to be very, very much earthly good, because our citizenship's in heaven, amen? But as you and I live our lives, I know that we have to work and we have to pay our bills. We have to be faithful to our commitments. I'm not talking about quitting your job and sitting on the roof of your house tomorrow saying, "Well, come back, Lord Jesus." No, the Bible says if you do that, then you're not allowed to eat. You're going to be a fool if you do that. You're to occupy until he comes. We're to be faithful in all that he's given us to do. But while we're faithful and while we're working in this world and in this life, our hearts are set on heaven and our eyes are scanning the horizon that this could be the day. And I know that for a lot of people, to think that Jesus could come today makes people uncomfortable. I understand that. But you don't have to remain uncomfortable. He says, "Blessed." The word in Greek is, "Happy are those." It's a good thing. You can be happy about his coming. That word "blessed" here at the beginning of verse 37 is the word "happy" or "well off," "elated." "Joyful are those." And in Matthew chapter 25, a very popular verse, Matthew 25, verse 7 to 13, listen to what Jesus said. "Then all those virgins," remember the 10 virgins that were waiting? All those 10 virgins, when they heard that the master was coming, trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and said to them, "No, lest there should not be enough for us. You go and buy, rather to those who sell, and buy for yourselves." Verse 10, "But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Did you see this? Do you hear this? It is native. It is natural to the believer. And notice this, there's 10 virgins in that parable. Five of them go in. Five of them miss out. Why? Put it like this. 10 religious people. 10 religious. 10 in the group. 10 initially started the day waiting for his return. but the oil ran out in five of them. No doubt you understand that the oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, has been from the Old Testament to the New. They waited, they looked like everybody else. They were in church, they lifted their hands maybe, they tithed, they served. But over time, these things began to be mechanical with them. They began to do them because it's what we do. I do this because it's what my dad did. I do this because my mom told me to do it. Five, their lamps were burning bright. And when the announcement was made, the bridegroom's coming, the other five were preoccupied with trying to now catch up, and they had missed out. That's a tremendous warning. He said, "Watch therefore, for you neither know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." It's awesome. Secondly, returning for those who are watching, watching while worshiping. This is important. Church, I can't stress this enough. Watching while worshiping, meaning focused on the adoration and the worship of the Son of God. Verse 37, assuredly, absolutely, positively, I say to you that he, notice this, he who? He, the bridegroom returning. He, the master who's returning. This is fun. When the master comes, he will gird himself and have them sit down and eat and will come and serve them. This is awesome. Why do I say that we need to be watching while worshiping? Because church, there's no greater prompting to worship the Lord than to know the Lord. The more you know him, the more you want to worship him. If you do not have a heart to worship the Lord, there's a good chance you don't know him. You don't know why you should worship him. Oh my goodness. If you know somebody and love them, you want to be with them, don't you? And if you know the Lord and love him because you've been with him, you want to not miss anything that he's involved in or that he's doing, and you want to know more about him. The more you know, the more you love, the more you love, the more you know. It's true in personal relationships. It's certainly true with our relationship with the Lord. And so he says that we are to be people that are worshiping and watching. And what does that do for us? It causes us to be focused on him in our adoration of him. And this is where it gets to me over the top. It says here that when the master returns, he's going to gird up his robe. He's going to take his robe up, tuck it in his belt, and what's he going to do? He's going to serve those. Those who? Those servants who were what? They were waiting and they were watching. He's going to serve them. You say, why would God ever do that? God won't do that. That's below God to do. I agree. It seems as though it'd be below God to do, wouldn't it? But didn't the Lord do that in that upper room on that night? Did not the Lord, creator of the universe, who was now draped in human flesh, get up from the table and gird himself with a loincloth and a bowl and wash the feet of the disciples? God washing their feet. He's going to do it again. That's a forerunner of this awesome moment. No wonder why we should worship him. What an amazing thing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Revelation 22:12 says that, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. He will have them to be seated. There's coming a day when you and I will see the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to have us be seated. What an awesome moment that will be. Imagine with me for a moment. Perfect Jesus comes again for us. Now look, I pray that he comes today. But if he doesn't come today, any one of us could die today. We'll meet him that way. Or we might live on and die of old age. Regardless, it's going to be soon, right? We're going to see him. When that day comes, Christian, that we will see the perfect Jesus, the one that we've dreamt about, prayed and read about and want to be like, we'll see him face to face. Imagine the moment that we see him and he takes us up into his presence and we're there with him. Imagine this. What is so awesome is the fact that when this happens to us, He is going to greet us like you and I cannot even think of. Have you been greeted before? Have you had some wonderful, almost embarrassing greeting? Oh, look, there's my friend. Hey, everybody, there's my friend. And it's you coming in and they're all going, hi, friend. When we see him, the scriptures say that a broad entrance, a grand opening will be provided unto us. Do you see yourself entering to heaven, just kind of squeaking in? Just kind of, oh. I made it. The Bible says that the door, the gates are going to be flung wide open and a great entrance will be provided for us. Isn't that humbling? We're going to stand there and no doubt maybe our chins will be touching our chest in shame and regret of all the things we might have missed out on or should have done for him. And he's going to pick our chin up from off of our chest and look at us. Do we not look at each other? Do you think the Son of God is not going to look at you personally? And can you imagine in that moment, I'm going to be thinking, oh Lord, I wish I would have done this for you or that for you. Oh Lord, I wish I would have taken things more seriously. Somehow he's going to look at us and his eyes looking at us is going to cause all that to evaporate. And we are going to sense what maybe we've never felt before. And that is the true absolute fulfillment of what it's like to be accepted in the beloved, says the Bible. And it's going to be absolutely over the top, but there's going to be more. Mark it down. A rarely quoted verse of the Bible, because frankly, some people view it as just being too casual. That's Zephaniah 3:17. Concerning the Lord coming back and you and I being with him in heaven, get a load of this. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy, and he will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with his shouts of joy. Who's going to do that? The Lord is going to do that. And in the Hebrew language, the word means that he's going to shout about you being in his presence. He's going to be joyful about you and I being in his presence. And the word in Hebrew means he's going to dance. He's going to twirl about. Can you imagine God twirling about because you've made it into heaven? You say, oh my goodness, I'm going to be twirling about too. Yes, we'll probably all be twirling about. But the Bible says God is going to sing and shout with excitement and joy that we're with him. That is awesome to me. Jesus said, I will not drink of this cup until you're with me in the kingdom. You never think that God is anticipating something, do you? You never think about God waiting for something, do you? But he's waiting to have you and I with him. And the question is this morning, are you going to be there with him? Jesus wants you there with him. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's interesting. Church, listen, respond. Who is the bride? The church. You are the church. Revelation 22 says, Jesus is speaking and the bride is speaking, come be with us. And let those who hear say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. And then Matthew 8:11, I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, under the second point, returning for those who are watching while wondering. We need to be wondering. If we're not wondering while we're watching, we'll forget why we're watching. A moment ago in Revelation, I read about the bright star. For those of you who are up early, this is first service. Of course you're up early. I love you guys. First service is very special to me because you guys have been up. You know, you probably went to bed kind of early. You're up. You're ready to go. It's third service. It's so hard. Third service is tough to minister to because they just went to bed about an hour ago. But you guys, in the morning, Regulus is in the sky right now. And all I have to tell you, you see, where is it? Where is it? Where? Don't worry about it. Step outside and look around. It will be very obvious. Regulus is the bright and morning star. You know what it does? When you look into the eastern sky in the morning, dark, dark, it's in fact, it's the darkest time of the night. That Regulus will be right here in the eastern sky. And do you know what it's announcing? The sun is coming. They sang the song, "Here Comes the Sun." Tim asked me in the back, do you think they got the correlation about "Here Comes the Sun," Jesus? Or do you think they were singing Beatles songs? Here comes the sun. Regulus is announcing, "Here comes the sun. The sun is coming." It's a warning that the night is almost over and the daylight will be here soon. It's a great announcement of hope. What an awesome thing. We wonder about what that will be like when he comes, watching with wonder. Jesus said, verse 38, "And if he should come," mark it, "in the second watch," you're going to want to circle the word second, trust me, "or come in the third watch," circle the word third, "and find them," waiting that is, "find them watching," here, "find them wondering, blessed are those servants." You need to mark the word blessed as well. This word blessed means supremely happy, overwhelmingly fortunate, the happiest a person can be. What's amazing about this in the Greek construction of this verse, church, are you listening to me? You got to get this. You can forget everything else that you've heard so far, but you got to get this. The word means if, for example, I'll elaborate on it. If the Lord should come in the first watch, that's great. If the Lord should come in the second watch, wow, you're blessed. If the Lord should come in the third watch, blessed, blessed. There's four watches to a Jewish night. If he should come in the fourth watch, that's that time between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's the last watch of the day. Overwhelmingly blessed you are. Church, get excited over this. We are here in the year 2007. Jesus Christ has not yet come. We've waited a long time. You say, well, Jack, I'm only 20 years old. I haven't waited all that long. That's not what he means. If you're a brand new believer today, it means that you have now come to that third or fourth watch of the night. It's been 2,000 years. And you know how blessed you and I are? The generation that Jesus Christ comes and retrieves and raptures out of this world, super blessed are they. Why? Because they had to wait the longest. When's he coming back? When's he coming back? I ask that question every day. But don't give up. Hang in there. Endure into the end. Why? Super blessed are those that when he comes back, the longer you wait, the sweeter it's going to be. I find that wonderful. What an encouragement to us who've waited for so long. After 2,000 years, don't you think that Paul and Peter, Paul, and Mary, James and John, all of them would be excited that you're reading the Bible and loving Jesus? 2,000 years have passed and you're loving the Lord. You've not even seen him and you love him. What an amazing, awesome thing that is. And so he says that we're blessed. Very exciting. Mark chapter 13, verse 33. Mark 13, 33. Jesus said, "Take heed, watch, and pray." There you go. "For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going into a far country who has left a house and given authority to his servants to each his own work." Watch. "And commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, at evening, midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning itself, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." That's Jesus' words to us. You guys, am I yelling? I'm so excited. I'm sorry. This is awesome. Let's be honest. Aren't you working hard at waiting and watching? I am. I mean, come on. Do you feel the world trying to hook you away right now? Hey, look at this. Hey, look at that. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. Listen, the Lord could come back today. What are you doing? The Lord could come back today.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called "When Jesus Christ Comes Again, Part 1. You know, this message is part of our series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, this is Pastor Jack here, and I've got to tell you that our good friend Charlie Kirk, we sat down a while back and we did what is called a Happening Now broadcast. And it turns out that it wound up making Charlie Kirk known as the Great Reset Guy. And so what Charlie's done is that he's written a handy, small, pocket-sized, great resource called The Christian Response to the Great Reset, and you're going to want to get a copy of this. So, in fact, it's so small, but yet so powerful. You're going to want to get a copy for you and some friends that you know, because here's the reason why. The Great Reset is about to happen, and it affects every living human being on earth. You want to be prepared for what's coming. The Christian Response to the Great Reset by Charlie Kirk. You're going to want to get your hands on this.
The Christian Response to the Great Reset by Charlie Kirk. It's our current featured resource, and you can get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.